Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio. Under a Shady Tree with Lord Terry and Lord Onyx. Come on in, grab a glass of sweet iced tea and sit right down. These Southern Pagan boys are about to start their talk. Here's Lord Terry and Lord Onyx.
And good evening, everybody. Good afternoon, good morning, good wherever in the world you are. This is Under a Shady Tree, and I am Reverend Terry Power. And I am, this is actually Under a Shady Tree with Terry and Robin, not Terry and Onyx. We're working on getting that updated. And my lady, my love, my darling, I know, we've been working on it forever.
Yes. Yeah, I'm here. Thank you. I love you too, baby.
Yeah, we've been working on that forever. We've just got to get it done. It's just so much going on. You know,
I know we're busy and crazy.
You had to travel.
I know.
And, you know, working a full-time job on my side and you working 2 full-time jobs with all those kids, you know, it's crazy busy and trying to get anything done. You know, and we've got a weekend together when I'm home, and my gosh, we're just working outside and taking care of the house and the mountain and all the cool stuff we do, or traveling or digging and taking care of the animals. It's just, you know. Oh. And, of course, you know, I'm losing, you know, about 12 hours of home time this weekend because I'm over here in Dallas for my day job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, on the flip side, the weather over here is beautiful. It was actually slightly chilly when I was outside having a smoke a few minutes ago. So even here, the weather's turned a little bit chilly. Not like at home. You know, I'm going to need you to maybe bring me a jacket to the airport when you come pick me up.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. It was 55 degrees when I left at the house tonight at about 6:30. And now it's probably down in the 40s. I didn't look at the thermometer when I came in, but I'm sure it's chillier. I am on the verge of turning the heat on in the house. That's how chilly it is.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ouch. Okay. Yeah, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, did it rain today, or did it at least clear up and get some sun?
It was not raining here. But it was overcast and cloudy all day. And when I drove over to Danville this evening, it was raining there. So.
Oh. Wow.
Mhm. It's been raining here all week. It's ridiculous. I'm so ready for the sun.
Okay. Yeah, and it doesn't look like we're going to get it until next week from the forecast I saw.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Yikes. Okay. So tonight we are going to be taking some questions from listeners and running with it, see what we got. Now, we will be taking calls tonight. Anybody wants to call in with their question pertaining to pagan spirituality, let's say it, let's qualify in that much. Pretty much anything having to do with pagan spirituality, you can call in and ask your question. And that number to call in is 646-564-9714. And after it goes through all the rigmarole and puts you into the queue, and you can then hear the show, then press the 1 button on your keyboard, and it will throw up a flag telling us that you want to listen or that you want to talk on the air. Because we do have callers that just call in and listen to the show when they're away from their computer. We've got a couple of people that drive home from work at this time of day, and they actually listen to our show on their cell phones. So that is a perfectly legitimate option if you cannot get to a computer and you want to listen live and not wait for the archives. You can always do that by calling into this number and listening in. If you want to talk, though, after you call 646-564-9714, if you want to talk, you got to hit the 1 button, and it throws up a little flag in the queue, and we can see that you want to talk. Otherwise, I'm just going to leave you sitting there. So, all of that said, did you have any kind of idea of the questions tonight, or do I have them all?
I believe you have them all.
Ha-ha! I am the master of the questions. Cool. All right. Well, we've got a group of students at a location which shall remain nameless that is talking a little bit about elements and elementals. And I know that we've been talking with some of our students about elements and elementals. So while it is not a specific question, that topic was thrown out there for a discussion and our input. So I thought that we would go ahead and start with that, since it's kind of near and dear to our hearts and something we've been talking about quite a bit lately. And I thought I would throw it over in your direction and let you get this party started.
Okay. Shoot.
Okay. No, I mean, I'm just throwing the topic in your general direction and see where you go with it. Talking about elements and elementals and that sort of, you know, cool, fun stuff.
Oh, there's no specific question?
That's what I was saying. There is no specific question. It's more of a topic.
I'm sorry, I missed that. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, as usual, I'm doing 6 things at once here. so I missed that little ditty. Well, you know, the elementals, there's a lot of, I think, misinformation about how it is that we're supposed to be connecting with elementals. You know, some people think, okay, well, I'm going to go and I'm going to read a book all about the elementals that's going to tell me everything I need to know. And then I'm going to build an altar for those elementals. And now, these are all good things to do, but these are not necessarily the only things that I would expect of somebody if I were a student. And if I were teaching, certainly it's not the only thing I would teach. This path and all craft-oriented paths where people are going to be doing rituals and spell work and that sort of thing, they are all experiential. You have to experience and have experiences that are validated for you by your coven mates, by your mentors, by your teachers, by your elders, by your peers as well, to know, that help you know that, yes, these are moments that tell you you're doing the right thing. Example. And it's a little, it's a silly one. Carrie and I were outside this past week in the yard, and we were talking about the holidays coming up and things we remembered from kids as holidays. And I said I remembered the smell of chestnuts roasting as I would walk through Manhattan. You know, people used to roast them in shopping carts, and you could smell it for blocks. And it's just this very unique smell. And that always meant the holidays to me. And then, yes.
And then I started singing.
And then Terry started singing, chestnuts roasting on an open fire. And then I joined him because it's one of my favorite, all-time favorite Christmas songs. And then we started talking about chestnuts and how much I, as a kid, you know, liked the chestnuts. And how I wish we had chestnuts on the property and I could find a chestnut tree. Apparently, several years ago in this area of Pennsylvania, there was a blight on chestnut trees, and they're very rare anymore to find them growing in the wild without having been cultivated. Well, that was Sunday. The next morning, I'm out in the yard with some friends who had come over. My friend Joey was here, and she looks over, and there's Zachy, the little one that I babysit, and he's got this prickly thing that he's holding onto, and he's going, ow, 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 ow. And she's like, I think that's a chestnut. And my head whipped around. I'm like, what did you just say? And there was a pile of chestnuts under this one tree. Now, it is certainly the time of year where a squirrel or something, a raccoon, something, could have been collecting chestnuts. But I took this as sort of the elementals having heard us wishing for chestnuts and showing me that there is a chestnut tree on my property and all I have to do is look around to find it. And there were a handful of chestnuts there at the bottom of this tree. And it did look like something had been eating one or two of them, but the rest of them were perfectly edible and untouched. And so we peeled them open, and all the kids got to taste a raw chestnut. I didn't roast any. But that's for this weekend. That's a planned thing. We're going to go walk into the woods and see if we can find our chestnut tree and collect some and maybe roast them. So
now,
I can have that smell from my childhood.
Let me jump in. And I love that. I love chestnuts as well. I mean, maybe that's one of the reasons I love that song as well.
Mm-hmm.
But you touch on an interesting part of this question,
mm-hmm.
or at least you touch on something that raises another question.
Okay.
What is the difference, as you see it? Now, I will explain my side of this in a few minutes. But mm-hmm. what is the difference, as you see it, between elementals and spirits of land, spirits of place? Because I think they're different. How do you see that?
Well, yes. Spirits of the land would be spirits that are designated, in my mind, to this place. And probably wouldn't go too far afield from here.
Right.
And they are probably spirits related to, you know, a specific reason that they're here. Maybe there was a Native American tribe that had property that, you know, lived on this property 50 or 100 years ago, and there was some sacred site here to them, and those spirits were brought here. I don't know the circumstance of how they get where they are, but they just are. Elementals are all around us at all the time, wherever we go. They can follow us. They can ignore us. They can cause mischief, depending on where we're at in our life. I remember when I first started on this path, I really had trouble connecting with the element of air. And I had this sort of at-odds relationship with that element. things would happen. I was trying to do some exercises to work with the element of air, and it just wasn't going well. I'd be in my kitchen, and things would blow off the shelf, and none of the windows were open. And I would know that it was the element of air screwing with me, you know. And exactly. And so I really had to work hard at making peace and making a connection with the element of air. And then when I finally did, it just opened for me. There's nothing that I love more than standing in a circle and the breeze being called up as I'm calling the element and feeling it on my face as validation that the elements hear me. And so that's the difference. Spirits are not really... land spirits are not really something that you can create a relationship with them, but I don't think of them as being able to be called that way in circle. I mean, I'm sure that if we did it, they probably would respond, but I don't think of them in that way. I think of them more as, you know, sprites that are in the forest and enjoying themselves, and they're just sort of part of the scenery of the land, and that they will do things and help you with things, but generally it's on their own time and in their own way.
Okay,
that's how I see it.
Let me touch on several things that you said, because you've given me all kinds of stuff to work with. And let's start with the spirits of the land. Now, I do believe that I develop a close working relationship with the spirits of the land, the spirits of the place. Now, I don't believe that they were brought there. I believe that they were always there. I believe that they are... that while the elementals are primordial and predate everything, the spirits of land, the spirits of place, probably came around in the same time frame. Too many stories of, like you said, sprites and fairies and stuff that coexist with stories of the gods. So I tend to think of them in the same time frame. They've just been there. Hmm. They just don't move around. They just don't have any desire to be anywhere except this is their place. This is what they are. And the reason I asked about that is because you were saying something about elementals, and then you talk about the chestnuts being found. I don't think that was elemental at all. I think that was spirits of the land.
Hmm.
I think that was the spirits of the mountain.
Hmm.
And I've told you about my experiences with the spirits of the mountain and the connection that came to me.
Hmm.
So it's possible that in that way I'm sensing and feeling, more of an acknowledgement that was spirits of the land. That was the mountain.
Well, do you?
That wasn't
do you
an
think,
elemental. I think that was the mountain.
But do you think that spirits of the land are not included in the group of elementals? Do you see them as a completely separate group?
I see them as a completely separate group. I see the elementals as predating everything, primordial. Part of my concept of primordial deity, before there was the separate, there were the elements.
Everything came from the elements. All of our deities can be related back down to elementals.
Exactly.
We've talked about that.
Spirits of the land coexist in time with the deities, not
spirits
with
of the land.
Elementals.
Spirits of the land are connected to physical things, physical trees,
exactly.
Physical rocks, physical places. And the elementals are not. The elementals are ethereal, if you will. The elementals are also going to generally No, I don't want to piss anybody off, but generally going to behave according to the element to which they are associated. Okay, with certain latitude. The spiritual place.
You're expecting to act within the nature of that element itself. Yeah.
Exactly. So you have some expectation of how they're going to behave. The spirits of land have no such. You really have no such expectation until you get to know them, and you know what they want to do and how they behave. So there's more of a
domain is that place. They're
right.
Fixed to that place. They're, all of their motives are about that place and
right.
protecting it and keeping it and caring for it.
Right.
Well, we're not disagreeing, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I just think the elementals predate.
Right. But I believe that every tree and every rock and every blade of grass, I'm an animist, has a spirit. And so for me, all of those spirits come under spirits of place or spirits of the land, if you will.
Oh, exactly. I think there's a shepherd, there's a guardian spirit of the place that kind of shepherds and cares for all of the more less mobile. Does that make any sense? Spirits of trees are going to be near the trees. Spirits of the rocks are going to be near the rocks. But the spirit of that shepherd spirit, that guardian spirit of the land, that is the entire area, is going to be the one with which people most interact when you think of spirits of land. At least that's the way I think of spirits of land. That's my understanding and my experience and in my work with spirits.
Mm-hmm.
Because I always, when I move to a new area, I always connect with spirits of land.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want a good relationship with the spirits of the place where I live.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be in partnership with those spirits.
Mm-hmm.
And for them to understand that my motives are to care for this place.
Right.
As a partner with them.
Mm-hmm. I see the spirits of land, if you will, as more sentient than I do the elementals. Again, the elementals are more ethereal. They're more, how can I put this? They're more energetic, if you will. Where I see the spirits of land or these animistic spirits that are related to trees and stones and stuff, I see them as more of a physical spirit. Does that make sense?
Say that again?
No. I said I see elementals as more ethereal. They're more made of energy. They're more everywhere all at once. Whereas spirits of land are here. They're more of a physical, palpable spirit. If that's, again, I'm not sure I'm making sense, but that's how I see it.
Yeah, because there's a question in the chat room about elements being tied to their corporeal existence. And I think that you're touching on the idea that while they're not necessarily completely tied to a physical existence, it is much easier to connect with them through the physical manifestations of their elemental energies, such as a campfire or the wind or touching the soil or, listening to a creek or interacting with water physically. Am I understanding you correctly?
Yeah, but I also go as far as to, and again, this goes back to a personal experience I had, and I'll tell the story because it's just an amazing story, and it gave me a different concept of elemental, of spirits of, that are physically tied to, let's say, a tree, okay? A friend of mine, I was staying at his house. A friend of mine, it was a full moon, and he was not pagan at all. Thought I was a complete, you know, used to tease me about it. You know, you're completely crazy with all this stuff. He had a mostly enclosed front porch on his house, but there were banks of windows. It's more like a sunroom kind of thing. And we were sitting out there with the lights off, looking out at the night. It was a beautiful full moon night, and we were just talking. And all of a sudden, he looks out the window and says, "What is that out there? There's something moving." And we both turn and look out the window. And sitting under this tree, which happened to be a willow tree, a weeping willow tree, but it was a very young one, sitting under this tree was something that looked like a man, or a person, but a man. Have you ever seen when men go hunting in these really like big camouflage things that they wear that cover their whole body? It almost makes them look like Bigfoot kind of thing, you know? But it was not that big to be something like that. It was just this thing, and it was sitting there, and it was looking at its hands, and it was playing with its hands over and over again as if it was fascinated with the concept of having hands, like babies do, like newborn babies do when they discover their hands or their feet. It was just like, wow, look at this, you know. We watched this thing for an hour, okay. This guy that I was talking to kept insisting that it was a person in a costume or something. So he actually went and got his gun and went outside thinking that this was somebody like trying to play a trick on us or something, like that they knew we were watching them. He got within about 3 feet of this thing, lifted the gun, and the thing disappeared. And when it disappeared from right in front of him, and I was watching from inside through the window watching this, and when it disappeared, because I was convinced it was actually physically there because you could not see through it, it looked solid. And when he lifted the gun, it just disappeared. And he dropped the gun and came inside, sat down and said, "That was there until I lifted the gun and it just disappeared." And we looked back outside, and it was back, sitting on the same stone and doing the same thing, just completely oblivious. And we both saw the same thing, although he was outside within 3 feet of it and I was in the house. We both saw the same thing at the same time, that it just disappeared instantly. And he went back outside, he picked up the gun, and that was that. And it disappeared the second time when he went back outside. It disappeared and it didn't come back. And I believe, because that was a willow tree, I believe that was the spirit of that tree sitting there that whole time. So that's how I mean that they are more physically realized. Because although people talk about interacting with elementals, I've never personally experienced an elemental in that physical a way. And I know people are out there thinking she's crazy, she's a loon. But, I mean, I could, you know, probably get this guy to attest to the fact that we both saw it. And as I said, he wasn't pagan and didn't believe at all.
Okay. Well, I've seen
he was convinced
like
it was
well.
A person, he was going to go out and shoot them.
Yeah. Now, we are kind of wandering back and forth between talking about elementals and talking about spirits of the land. The point to all of the reason I mentioned spirits of the land is that I don't think it was an elemental specifically that brought you the chestnut.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was the guardian of the mountain bringing them to you.
Hmm.
And that was my whole point, is that I was going to say that I think it was the guardian of the mountain, not an elemental, not like, you know, we think of the, you know, the air elementals or fire or water or earth. It was instead the spirit of the place, the guardian shepherd spirit of the place, the one that the one that I interact with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the one that came to me that day, walking back from the spring.
Yeah. Well, I will tell you that there have been lots of people who've come to this mountain over the years and had a lot of experiences with the nature spirits here. People have seen fairies. My daughter talks about having seen fairies in the woods. You know, I can't explain it. One of the things about the magic of Owl Mountain that it's old forest, not disturbed. There aren't a lot of people that walk in it. Those that do are, you know, pretty gentle on the land. I mean, they do hunt, but not to excess. So, our land here is just an amazing place.
There's certainly more spirits up there than just the one.
Oh yeah.
But there's that one that comes to me that I deal with that is
mm-hmm.
like the shepherd. You know, and it's a he. It's that masculine energy, the shepherd energy. And mm-hmm. I'm kind of thinking it was probably some either that spirit or maybe it was like one of the fairies that that Perry sees.
Mm-hmm.
But returning to our conversation about elemental,
mm-hmm.
You were talking about your experiences with air. Well, I think, you know, like you said, that all of them kind of tend to follow the personality of the element
mm-hmm.
itself, and the air elementals tend to be the most capricious.
Mm-hmm.
of the lot, just by the very nature of air. So,
yes.
So then playing with you,
mm-hmm.
Actually seems perfectly in character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. and that is one of those things that you learn to expect from the elementals. Also. They tend to have a more psychic connection, I guess. There have been times where I know that it has been elementals warning me about things.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes close my eyes at night going to sleep and I'll see things related to elements, and I'll know that some of these things that I'm being shown mean things. But this has come over years and years and years of interacting with them. And from experiences where I saw these things and didn't know what it meant, and then something would happen and I'd go, oh, well, I guess that's related. And so that's one of those things that you only learn over time with experience. And that's really
validation.
The crux of what we... Huh?
And validation.
And validation, exactly. And repetition, that it happens over and over again the same way. You see this happens. Oh, that's interesting. Saw that. See this happens. Wow, that's the second time. I wonder if they're trying to tell me something. you know? And so, yeah, and those are the kinds of things that you can't ignore after a while. You have to realize that something, is talking to you and that it behaves in this way and it happens and it interacts in this way and, well, that must be the element of air or fire or, whatever.
Right. Well, darling, we are at the bottom of the hour.
Oh, wow, that went fast.
This has flown. This has been a great conversation. This has flown by. But we really do need to take a break.
Okay.
And in honor of our conversation, Darth the Bard has a song called Land, Sea, and Sky.
Mm-hmm.
And that seemed appropriate for our conversation about spirits of land and spirits
mm-hmm.
of place. So let's hear Darth the Bard sing about land, sea, and sky, and we'll be back in a few minutes. Everybody stick around.
ever my home. Oh, this town is so cold. Neon magicians, they offer the fools their gold. For there is somewhere I'd rather be. In your wild places with the land and the sky and the sea.
listening to Terry and Onyx on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We're glad you're here. And now, back to the show.
We'll move you to Virginia.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. This is Reverend Terry Fowler, and you are under a shady tree with Terry and Robin. And Robin, are you back with us?
Yep.
All right. So, now we've been having a great conversation about, I started off talking about elementals, and then you told the story about the chestnuts, and that got us started talking about spirits of land and spirits of place. And so we kind of ranged somewhat wildly across those two topics. There was a question that was generically about tools on altars. But since we're already well into the show and about 20 minutes away from the top of the hour, it occurred to me that that question about tools on altars, and it was really a generic tools, you know, question about what tools would you place on your altar, or what do you guys do? It occurred to me that we could talk about the tools as they apply to the elements, wrapping it all up with a nice bow, tying up the whole evening, and talk about what tools apply to what elements, what ways we can represent the elements on our altars. Because some people, you know, would just use a wand, an athame, a cup, and a stone representing the elementals. And some people use a little more representative kind of objects. And how can we use those to help us connect with each of the elements?
Well, you know me, this is where I'm going to get all, you know.
Oh, no, you don't like to decorate an altar very much. You like a plain old stone with some candles, and let's go. And, you know, and that's cool and that's beautiful, but I do like to play dress up sometimes. I do. I like a bunch of stuff on the altar. And I like robes, and I like to play dress up.
You don't need all that stuff.
That doesn't mean, you know, I mean, I don't need to, you know, to wear a suit sometimes when I take you out for a nice dinner, but, you know, playing dress up is nothing. So
well,
there.
You know, for me,
next.
Yeah, well, for me, simplicity has always been key. I've always felt that when you start getting so worked up about the details about this stuff, you lose sight of the vision of the magic. Who the heck is calling me?
I don't know. Maybe the person we were talking to about maybe being on the show is finally returning your call.
No, this is from New Jersey. Can you excuse me? Can I please take a moment
here? I will mute you, and that gives me a chance to talk behind your back. So here we go.
Okay, thanks.
You're muted.
Thank you. Okay.
So while she takes that call, we have a friend in the hospital over that way. So she absolutely needs to take that call. So anyway, while she doesn't like to play dress up, I do very much enjoy, from time to time, dressing up an altar. And, you know, some people have different ideas about what tool represents, particularly wand and athame. People will flip them back and forth between air and fire, and I really don't care which works for you, whatever works for you. And, of course, the cup is a whole lot more stable as water, and a stone of some sort as earth.
Now, for myself, I also like to put a feather or something like that. Some people will also use incense for air. And, of course, a candle for fire. Putting actual water in the cup or a dish of water. And using salt or additional colored stones or whatever it is that's you know, working for you can be placed, you know, to represent earth. Now, connecting with the elements and physical representations, it doesn't necessarily have to be an altar. A couple of weekends ago, Robin and I had an opportunity to go do a little bit of looking around at yard sales. I think we talked about this. We got some of the windows for the greenhouse. But I also picked up a fountain, one of those desktop fountains. And I had that fountain sitting next to my desk. And it took some work and some cleaning. But now when I'm at home, I plug that in. And it just sits there and has this little slight gurgling sound of the flowing water from the pump. And it's beautiful and it's settling. And in that moment, I'm connecting with water, whether I'm outside, whether I've got, you know, any more water than just in that fountain. I can sit there and listen to the sound of that water and be soothed and calmed. That's part of connecting with an element. Going out on a breezy day and sitting and feeling and experiencing the feel of the air on your face and the wind and the caress of the breeze across your body. Let's see. I'm bringing Robin back in. Hey, Robin, have you been listening to me?
Hello. Some of it, but not all of it, no.
Okay. I was talking about we don't even necessarily need tools on the altar to connect to the divine or to connect to elementals. I was talking about the fountain I picked up
mm-hmm.
when we were yard sailing a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And having that and how the sound, just that very slight gurgling, granted, there are times when I wish it was a little more vigorous.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when it's quiet and I'm sitting there alone, I can still feel and hear and experience water.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to be at the ocean. I don't need to be at a lake or in a river.
Mm-hmm.
I can experience water in that moment, sitting there looking at and listening to this fountain.
Well, sure.
And then I was talking about going out on a breezy day with no other purpose than to sit comfortably somewhere and feel the air moving across your body.
Mm-hmm.
The wind in your hair, moving across your face, moving across your skin, and just feel the caress of air and really feel it. Put everything else aside and just experience that air moving across your body. Fire is easy enough if you don't have a place to build a nice fire like a fire pit,
mm-hmm.
which is really nice when we can sit there and watch the fire. And you've seen me just sit there and just kind of meld with my mind
mm-hmm.
into the fire and... But, I mean, you can do the same thing with candle. A simple candle meditation will help you connect with fire. And earth, well, I mean, that one's easy enough. Go plant a garden. Go dig in the dirt.
Mm-hmm.
So many people connect with earth. But just digging
or if you
in
don't
the
have
dirt.
If you don't have dirt, you know, like in your yard, if you somebody who lives in an apartment, put some plants in a pot.
Yeah. You should
have to be elaborate. Plant a African violet and keep it on your counter, you know?
Yeah, if you're still playing with dirt.
Exactly.
Get your hands dirty.
Mm-hmm.
Barring all of that, you can still pick up a stone or two.
Mm-hmm.
But a random stone, not something you get at the metaphysical shop at some beautiful polish, this, that, or the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
Pick up a rock.
Yep.
I mean, just pick up a rock and sit with that rock and feel it and experience the sensation of the solidity of earth. And the stability of earth as represented in a rock. It can be something that simple. But you don't want to get a polished thingy. You start getting into all the qualities of that gemstone or that this thing. No, pick up a rock. If you want to connect
mm-hmm.
with earth, you know, you agree with me on that one?
Well, yeah, I think that, you know, there's just a really good grounding quality to just the common rock that you have in your area, whether it's going to be, you know, limestone or river rock or, you know, shale, whatever it is. If it's from your area, it's going to keep you connected to the earth where you are from or to the earth you call home. So if you're somebody who is from, you know, the Rocky Mountains and you want to grab a rock off the Rocky Mountains and take it with you because you've been transferred to Florida, that's a really good way to, you know, hold on to a little piece of home and stay grounded there.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right, well, we are at 9 minutes away from the top of the hour. So I think we're just about at that starting to wrap things up stage in the evening. Wow, this one's flown by.
Yep.
And so, let's see. If someone wants to get in touch with the station, if you've got questions that you would like for us to address on an episode of Under a Shady Tree, when we get together and grab that glass of sweet iced tea and just sit up here and have a conversation, if you would like to give us some ideas, if you have a question or a topic you would like discussed on a Thursday night, please let us know. You can email surn.org@gmail.com. That's surn.org@gmail.com. Put in there a question or topic, something in the subject line, letting us know that it's a question for the show, and we'll be happy to work that into the mix. We get a lot of questions. We try to get things all into a theme. Tonight's theme actually made itself. The theme itself kind of took over,
mm-hmm.
and the questions were less important than the theme that kind of grabbed us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way it happens sometimes.
Yep.
When we allow ourselves to be open to spirits, Robin and I are both very bad about opening our mouths and something falls out that wasn't what we planned and it's time to go with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're being guided to what somebody needs. So somebody out there somewhere needed this conversation about spirits of land. Because that was not in any of our questions. Nothing in any of the questions about spirits of land. So, but that seemed to take over the whole show. And that's cool. That's great. I love it when that happens because the time flies by. And I love being with you guys. So anyway, any questions for the station, anything about any of our topics, hosts, anything, again, at cern.org@gmail.com. If you would like to get in touch with Robin or myself, or both of us, you can email us. The address is littlestonebridge@gmail.com. That's littlestonebridge, all run together, at gmail.com. That is a shared email address that we both use. So we use that for our couples workshops, any of our workshops, actually. We use that. I get separate emails there. She gets emails there. We get a lot of emails there for joint accounts. So we get a lot of stuff to us as a couple. And again, that is littlestonebridge@gmail.com. And we've also got the Little Stone Bridge Path Workings page on Facebook. And that is one of those pages where you go and like the page and let us know that you're around. And did you want to talk a little bit about the workshops in the next next 2 minutes? Just a brief rundown on some of the workshops and us coming out and talking to people's groups and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. We, Terry and I, have really sort of felt strongly that we're being led to do workshops, and specifically workshops pertaining to communication and relationships. And actually, too, also, there seems to be a real need out there for young men to be mentored on how to navigate today's role as a man. It has evolved so much in the last, 50, 60 years, what's expected and what's okay and what's not okay anymore. And there's really not that many people out there talking about this. It seems like men are finally getting it when they're about 40 and 50, because they've been burned so many times or gotten in trouble or made mistakes. We just thought, wouldn't it be so much nicer if there were somebody out there sharing the benefit of the mistakes they made for others to learn from, so they didn't have to make some of those same mistakes and get their fingers scorched, as it were. So I think we're also going to do a very similar type of workshop as well for women, and probably mostly pertaining to the changing roles that women have had in the last 50, 60 years. It's quite a minefield out there for both genders, and things are so different than they were even just when our parents were doing these sort of things. And I think that the people coming up now with stuff like MTV as role models and some of the things I see on TV, I think one of Terry's favorite things he talks about are male role models on TV are almost non-existent. Competent, male role models.
Not positive ones. There's not positive ones.
Yeah.
There's all a bunch of buffoon.
Yeah.
And
that is very true.
Is really stealing our heroes from our young men.
Mm-hmm.
And then if there is somebody that begins to shine and be a positive role model, then there's always somebody there to tear them down.
Yeah.
Instead of build them up, instead of celebrating our male heroes, there's someone there to tear them down every time.
Yeah.
Because we're not allowed to have positive male role models. See, this
right.
is what she was right. This is my...
Yep, and
so that's
and
one
this
of the
is
workshops that we do.
Yep, and this is going to be a problem going forward in the future. The more and more
going
we let this thing slide.
Going to be?
Well,
going
yeah,
to be?
I mean, it is a problem. The more and more we let this slide as our culture goes on, I mean, I have a 9-year-old daughter. I hate to see what kind of guy she's going to bring home, at some point in the future. So I feel I need to do something about this. So these are some of the workshops. We do workshops as well on sacred sexuality. We do workshops on, how to truly create a place to have honest and open sharing between people. And when I say people, I mean two people in a relationship, or it could be people in a work environment. It could be, people who are in some kind of coven or group as well. We will do workshops for small groups.
People in a relationship,
Exactly. A polyamorous relationship, you know, communication is very important. So we will do workshops for small groups and large groups. We've done them, you know, for hundreds of people, and we've done them for, you know, four people. We do workshops here at the mountain, and we also can go out to other people and do them as well. So feel free to contact us if you'd like some information about any of those workshops, and I'd be happy to speak with you in reference to that.
Okay. Excellent. All right. So how does somebody find you on Facebook?
They can find me at my Facebook page for my show, which is Spiritual Wellness Physical Health. They can also find me on my Facebook page, Robin A. McKean. They can write to me as well at the littlestonebridge@gmail.com email account that you mentioned. And if you are going to write about a workshop, just put workshop question or something like that in the subject matter so I know what it's about. And I think other than that, that's it.
Okay. All right, and you can find me on Facebook. I am Terry Power in North Copley, Pennsylvania. Or you can find my public figure page, RevTerryPowerHP. Follow me on Twitter, at RevTerryPowerHP. And you can also find the Spiritual Unity Radio Network Facebook page and see what we're doing here at the station.
Mm-hmm.
So, with that said, I think we're at the top of the hour, so we should probably tell everybody good night. Final thoughts. Really, you know, connecting with the elementals is really a matter of being quiet. Or connecting with any spiritual entity really involves a whole lot less doing and a whole lot more listening.
Yeah.
Whether you're listening to the sound of a fountain, or the wind as it whistles in your ears, or the crackling of a fire. Just listen. Just listen. The answers are always there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with that, it's time to wish everyone a week filled with love and with wonder. Good night and blessed be.
Good night.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.